Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
What you're trying to do with all of them is just give them these skills so they can operate outside of the athletic world, and then this will all translate to the athletic world, if you know what I mean, because winning, in my opinion, is a lifestyle. It's not just on the field.
This is the Reform Sports Project, a podcast about restoring healthy balance and perspective in all areas of sport through education and advocacy. Hi, this is Nick Bonacore from the Reform Sports Podcast. My guest today is TJ Bruce, Associate Head Baseball Coach for the TCU Horned Frogs. Coach Bruce joined TCU in 2023 after 7 seasons as a head coach at the University of Nevada. In just one season with TCU, he made an immediate impact, helping guide the squad to a Big 12 tournament championship, its second NCAA road regional victory, and a berth in the College World Series. TJ and I discuss changes in the college coaching landscape, living by a code, and the importance of prioritizing values over performance to foster lifelong relationships. Again, man, I'm really excited. I have a dude that had on way back in the early days when I first started just kind of getting out there and interviewing folks and getting feedback from people that are in the fight. And he's made some transitions in his professional life, and I'm really excited to have him, the current associate head coach of one of the top baseball programs in America, the TCU Horned Frogs, TJ Bruce. Coach, man, thanks so much for hopping on, brother.
No, I appreciate it, man. It's always good to be on and talk shop, and always good to catch up.
Yeah, no doubt. And last time I talked to you, I vividly remember that we were in the thick of COVID, and you were building like a motocross park in your front yard for your sons to be, or like a BMX thing. You were like, yeah, I'm putting ramps on, and you know, they're doing this, that, and the other. But this is when you were still, I believe, in Nevada, because you were the head coach in Nevada. What's going on with the motocrossing? Were you able to move that with you to Texas?
I wish. Yeah, it was pretty neat, man. It's, you know, COVID obviously destroyed a lot of things and, you know, hurt a lot of people. And we had close family or friends pass away because of it. But it also brought different joys to different people, too. And one of them for me was to kind of get reacclimated to my family, to be honest. I was kind of running this coaching circuit and being a newly head coach, I guess at that time I was 4 years in, and got back into the daily life with my family. And then we built that BMX track. And what we did was we did the national circuit for BMX for almost the whole year. So it was really cool. We were loading up the BMX bikes and driving, you know, Sacramento, which is 2 hours from us, has the number one BMX track in the country. And so we were going there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night racing. Then we were driving to Utah, driving to Arizona, doing all these different circuits, running the national scene. So it was a pretty neat deal. Taught my kids I'll tell you what, it taught my kids so much than just the daily grind of the team aspect, you know, because BMX is such an individualized sport. So it just taught them so many different lessons and how to work differently and all that. It was incredible.
Dude, I love it. And you, you know, now going from head coach to associate head coach, and I know you were an assistant, you know, when you first got into the game. And of course, you were a high level player as well. You hear so much, and currently we have March Madness going on, and a lot of the talk on, you know, talk radio and such you often hear is a lot of coaches that have been around for a long time, right? And I'll use, you know, my old coach who I talk about a lot, Mike Fox, I'm sure you know, you know, he was at Carolina for a long time. He retired a few years ago. Scott Forbes, who was his longtime assistant, took over the program. And I'm really close with Coach Fox. And he said, man, it's just talking about the culture and today and recruiting landscape, NIL. And he's like, man, it's just different. He actually said to me, like, the guys who were younger, who have kind of come up in it, are more acclimated. They're used to it. You know, someone like him, he's like, it's a new world. What does that mean? Because you started your, you know, coaching career as an assistant. I believe you were around the same age in our mid and close to our mid 40s. So you saw, you've seen the change. How much has the coaching at the college level changed since, you know, the transfer portal, NIL? I guess just give your background pros and cons, because so people can understand.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's, you know, I feel like I'm in that right in the middle. But I wouldn't change how I was raised in the game and by the people I was raised by, because I feel like my foundation is solid, better than solid in terms of what the game was and then where it's transforming into. And, you know, my foundation goes all the way back to Cerritos College and Wally Kincaid. You know, I didn't play for Wally, but he's basically, he is the West Coast godfather of baseball, and a lot of guys learned under him. Mike Gillespie is one of them. George Horton is one of them. Dave Snow, Mike Weathers, all these guys, these great coaches have learned under him. And as much as the game's evolving to different, you know, the computer-based stuff, it's still, you have to throw strikes. You got to put the ball in play, and you got to play catch. And I think that needs to be the foundation on the athletic side. Now where it's gone in the transfer portal and the NIL era is just a whole different ballgame. In terms of, you know, when we were playing, you were allowed to transfer. In fact, I was a transfer. I ended up being a senior transfer from Texas Tech to Long Beach State back to my hometown. And that was okay. I got to play right away. Then they went into, you can only have a one-time transfer. And then now you can have a one-time transfer and not sit out, but now you're paying players, and I'm not so much opposed to the NIL deal, but I guess I am a little bothered as to where it's going in terms of now you've made amateur baseball a professional sport by just paying these guys. And now a lot of these parents and families and kids are searching for the highest payday. And then that's where they're going to play, not necessarily the best developing place, the best place with the right leaders, the best head coach with a servant heart, you know, all the things that we value that I think when you get to be an adult and you start raising your own kids, you're going to go back to those values, servant heart, servant leadership. So why not start now in your amateur sport or your amateur years? And I'm so thankful that I work for Kirk Sarlos, who is all that and more. And he does it right. And he's a servant leader and has a heart of gold, and we do things right. But there again, he was raised, his dad played for Wally Kincaid. Kirk played at Cal State Fullerton. So we have, I don't want to say old school values, because I don't want to sound that old, but I kind of have a really good foundation of how he wants to do it. And my job now is to serve him and his program in the best possible way.
It seems like it's happened so quickly, like 10 years, it's completely changed. And you mentioned the amateurism of college sports to now, I agree with you, it's, you know, more or less professional sports. How do you juggle? Because like, you got to win, you know, especially at the Power Five level, like TCU, I would imagine, you know, Texas Christian, you guys are going to Omaha, you're trying to win national titles. Like if you don't win, you know, how do you balance the quote unquote old school mentality, you know, and implementing the values and life lessons and things and try to develop great people, while at the same time realizing, like, you know, you mentioned the pay or the professionalism, like it is borderline transactional. How do you balance the transformational and transactional so that you not only can sleep at night, but also sleep at night knowing that you're still going to be employed, right? I mean, that's the reality.
Yeah, and I think it's a good question, but I think the foundational skills on what you value, that's where it comes back to. And I think, you know, I've always believed that people have a code and they live by code. And your family, if you didn't know it now, your family lives by a code. You just may not know what it is, or you just may not, you know, categorize it as that. But we all live by something and stand by something. And I think that's the same way. I think you got to be able to stand by and live by the code that you want to live by. And then you got to marry that to your program, not the other way around. I've seen too many coaches live the other way, where it's like, I'm going to set my program values, but I'm not going to live it off the field. And that's what I think is number one. And then number two, as much as we are chasing winning to a degree, we're chasing people. You're trying to chase this servant heart, like I said earlier, and you're trying to be a servant leader to these kids, and you're trying to help them get to where they got to get to. And if you do it that way and you chase people instead of winning, I feel like organically you will evolve into this growth mindset, because you're just not about the winning. And I'll give you an example, you know, the winning in terms of, well, hey, you have to do it this way, you can't win. Well, that's all good. And I'm not saying that it can't be that way, but I also know there's a lot of different ways to win, as you know. And I just use those guys you mentioned at UNC who are great, right? Forbesy and Foxy and Scott Jackson right there, all the good at UNC. Well, they all run different programs now, and they all may do it a little bit different. But I feel like the good ones are chasing people, and that will lead to growth mindset, which will then create the love and learning and the resilience that is essential for this bigger accomplishment in winning that we all are chasing in a way also.
I love your point about the code, because, you know, I think most people would agree that a lot of the values and such that, you know, are instilled in our kids start in the house, you know, whatever your house dynamic looks like. So how do you, and you're a father of four, I believe, two boys, two girls. You mentioned your daughter's getting ready to go into high school here next year. So how do you utilize, in this ever-changing environment? I mean, you're in the midst of it. You're in the thick of the landscape of college athletics. I mean, it's how you make your living. How do you juggle, you know, trying to extract the core values of the lessons of sports that'll serve our kids or your kids throughout their life versus the performance, and knowing what you know? Like, let's say one of your kids or all of them, you know, want to be collegiate athletes. Like, they want to, you know, get on social media and market themselves, and you know that that opportunity is there. How do you juggle that as a sports parent and a college coach?
Well, I think the values, like I said, the values are you're forever teaching every single day. I got a daughter that's going into high school next year, and she actually just made varsity dance, and she's not even in high school yet. And so they had their tryouts, and she's a good dancer. And I think she's going to dance collegiately just by watching. You know, it's not so much her athleticism or the way she dances. It's more everything else. It's more the values that she has. She's super loyal. She's respectful. She's yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Shows up on time. She is a worker. She's always working. So, I mean, I just named you multiple things that we're just trying to instill every day. And whether or not they can dance, or whether or not they can swing a bat, or whether or not they can throw a football, it doesn't really matter. But if you got those five things, or I know there's more things to it, but if you got those things that you're pounding in them every single day, the athletic performance can take care of itself. And I think what we don't do a great job as parents, and trust me, I'm speaking to myself here too, is as raising young kids, and we're in the travel ball circuit too. We're in the football circuit. Aledo Community Football, man, if you haven't heard of it, I mean, it's a huge deal. My son had a Super Bowl at 10 years old. There's 1,000 people there.
So you're talking Friday night. You're in Friday Night Light country, right?
Oh, yeah, big time. And so I think what you're trying to do with him, or with all of them, is just give them these skills so they can operate outside of the athletic world. And then this will all translate to the athletic world, if you know what I mean, because winning, in my opinion, is a lifestyle. It's not just on the field. And I think that's just kind of how we look at it. That's what has been passed down to me, and we've stood firm on it. And I think a lot of parents, what I was going to say earlier, is they lose their identity in their kids' sports. They lose their identity in the travel ball. They lose the identity in the dance. And it's super easy to do, because trust me, I've done the same thing at times. I get in the car and I'm like, Jackson, why did you swing at that pitch? Why? That's the last thing he needs to hear from his dad. He wants me to be his dad, not his coach. And so that's something that I think if we can take a step back as parents and start building our kids up in a different way, chasing the growth mindset, chasing the person instead of the winning and the success, I think it all just goes hand in hand at some point, and it's all going to marry into each other.
When we return, TJ and I dive further into youth sports and the rise of baseball analytics.
Before we head to break, here's a message from industry leader TeamSnap. Sponsorships go a long way, cutting costs for every player involved and helping out with big ticket items like travel equipment and facilities. Are you ready to start raising sponsorship dollars for your youth organization? Great. But where do you start and how do you get in front of sponsors? TeamSnap has just the webinar for you. Join their up-and-coming webinar, Three Ways to Attract Leading Sponsors to Your Youth Sports Organization, on Tuesday, April 16th. During this webinar, we'll share tips, best practices, and tools to help you attract leading sponsors to your youth sports organizations, including how to offer the most popular sponsorship assets, keys to creating impactful promotional materials, and how to leverage the TeamSnap sponsorship network. Go to TeamSnap.com to learn more and sign up for the webinar on April 16th.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid back appeal and down home vibes. As a dad of seven kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Where we left off, TJ and I were about to discuss the role and limitations of baseball analytics.
I want to shift gears a little bit because, not really shift gears, but like we talked about NIL and things have changed in the overall landscape, but I want to talk about the specific changes that we're seeing in the landscape of the game of baseball. And you mentioned the math or the science and the data, and that's not just exclusive to baseball. I mean, watching, you know, collegiate basketball right now in the midst of March Madness, you're talking about analytics and football, and it doesn't matter the sport, right? Data, you know, you have an abundance of data. You can kind of figure out algorithms or whatever strategies that could increase the odds of performance, of success. Yeah. But man, I have a love-hate relationship with baseball Twitter. I have a love-hate relationship because I love looking at this stuff and being like, dude, this is because a lot of it's hilarious to me. Like, grown adults arguing like swing like this and this is what works and this is all this and no, do this, do that. And I'm like, holy cow, like how do you have so much energy to do this? But are you at TCU? Are you got, and I know you work specifically with hitters, I believe, in the offense.
Yes.
Are you legit like breaking down swings, like coaching to quote unquote, you know, certain launch angles and doing all that? I might not even be using their terminology properly, but are you, how much is the data really used on a day-to-day basis in the TCU program when it comes to hitting specific?
I think it just varies on the person, but I like I told you earlier, I was raised in the game, right? So my foundation, or what I believe is right, but my foundation isn't from the background of analytics and the background of launch angle and swing planes and all that stuff. It wasn't there. We were taught to evaluate based on setup, evaluate based on hand position, evaluate based on so many other factors that I believe now as we're getting into the analytics world, I think it's helped me rather than just the guy that's like, I feel like the guy that's just getting into the coaching ranks and he is just behind the computer the whole time, I don't think he's as well versed, because the experience A isn't there, and he's just seeing things through a computer screen. We use them, but we're not living off them, if that makes sense. And I think you have to be able to speak the language to the kids, and you have to be able to show them, because that's all they're coming up in now. So you have to be able to show them certain things, but you also have to be able to adapt. They have to be able to adapt to you and understand that if you set up this way, it doesn't really matter X, Y, Z, or if you do this, or if you stride here, it doesn't really matter what you're trying to do. I think there is a way to marry both of them. And I think there, again, that's where the coach like myself has to have a growth mindset. We keep asking kids to have a growth mindset. Well, the coach is going to have a growth mindset too. So you have to know it. You have to talk the language. I choose rather not to live off of it. I think now if you have the foundational, let's just talk hitting for a minute. If you use the ground and you know how to use the ground correctly, then I think you can get into other things. If you don't use the ground, which is a pretty foundational thing here for us at TCU, then the computer is not going to help you. You know what I mean? So it's just, it would be like on the pitching side, I believe if you can't throw strikes, the computer is not going to help you. Now, if you can throw strikes, the computer may help you manipulate or change a grip on a ball or get your fingers over the ball a little bit more because you're on the side of the ball, whatever it may be. But there are foundational pieces you have to do in order for this other stuff to help you.
There's a great quote that Mike Reinold, who works with the Red Sox, he has he does a lot of rehabilitation and works with a ton of big leaguers, particularly in the Red Sox organization. And he told me, Nick, you first bake the cake, then you add the frosting. And I think that's mm-hmm. a great way to describe kind of what you're saying. When it comes to, let's say, all right, so you're at the college level, your kids are want to play for a travel ball organization, a select team or whatever. How important is it for you, for your 10, 11, 12-year-old to know that the coach or the organization you're working with utilizes data and analytics? Is that something you think about, or is that just a marketing thing? Because that's the culture, and people think, hey, I hear him at my son's 9 U games now talking about launch angle and all this stuff. I'm like, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't. In fact, my son doesn't hear that a whole lot, and he doesn't bring it up a whole lot. And our travel ball organization does not talk about it at all, which is really good. Now, I am a coach, and I will always back the coach. So, when it gets to that, him and I will have some discussions on the growth and what it does. But I think it's good for him to value it. But I also think right now at 10 years old, he doesn't need to be worried about a radar gun pitching. He just needs to worry about throwing strikes, and he needs to worry about making contact and putting the ball in play and understanding the value of doing all that and playing catch and throwing strikes and putting the ball in play rather than just getting hits. Because right now we're in this stage at 10 where everybody is growing rapidly. My son is built a lot like I was, very thin bone, very skinny. He has friends now just getting into the home run stage and he wants to hit home runs. Well, he's not going to ever really do that yet. He needs to be, like I tell him, you better be a good hitter before you start getting into power. I would rather hit 330 than hit 230 with 15. I would rather hit 330 and 5 or 330 and 3 and be on base. And that creates, in my opinion, multidimensional baseball player. Just like you're trying to recruit multidimensional athletes, multiple sport athletes. It all goes the same. So we don't really get into it in my house a whole lot. And thank God our organization doesn't.
So that is something that, I talk about this a lot, but this is something you're passionate about as well. We share this. You love recruiting. Like, is it really still something you look for? Like you go out and see kids that may have played different sports in high school.
Oh, we love it. Our head coach, Coach Sarlos, played 3 sports in high school, just like I did. He was a quarterback. We actually played all the same sports. He was a quarterback, football. He was a soccer player, midfielder, and then a baseball player. And I was the same. So we did all 3. He did 3 longer than I did. I did 2, and then it transitioned to 1, I think, when I turned 17. But I'm a firm believer in it. My kids do the same thing. My kids have no reason to play basketball, to be honest with you, but I put him in basketball, and we went from tackle football, which is a whole nother thing, right? It's like, well, why would you let your kid? Well, football's safer now than ever. So yes, I'm going to allow that, and he's going to be tougher for it and better for it. So then we went from football to basketball right away, right into the gym. And he's asking me how to shoot, and I have no idea how to shoot. I'm not a basketball player. But I think it's just so good to be coached in those lessons. And then we didn't pick up a bat from August 1st to February 1st. I didn't allow him to pick up a bat. And he was behind. It's okay. But guess what? Now we're 2 months into it, and he's fine. It's okay. It all worked out. That's where the identity of the parent gets caught up in the kid.
It's a good point. 2 months. Yeah, we're a little behind that kid who may have been swinging in the cages all winter long or whatever, but, you know, give an athlete a little bit of, give him a couple of weeks, we're going to be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, they're kids. And I think the multiple sport athlete is just, I think they're at a higher advantage in a lot of ways, because I just think their overall motor and athletic development will increase their playing years. That's what I think. That's what I believe. And that's not for everybody. That's what I believe. And I think also doing that, it's an increased ability to transfer skills to other sports. Why not learn how to ride BMX? That was one of the greatest things for our kids at the age they were doing them, which was 5 and 7, I think, or 4 and 6 and whatever. And they line up on the gate and they're international and they have rankings and all this stuff. And they're at one of the nationals. And if they slip a pedal, they only get one lap. They slip a pedal, or they don't start good, it's not like you have a motor and you're catching up. You're done. You're out. You finish last. And I think the accountability part for them on the training aspect of, if I don't train, it's my fault. And I think that is such a huge deal for them, because, as you know, if you don't train in a team sport, you may let your team down in some ways and it's going to show up, but you can mask that with 8 other guys in baseball. It may not show up right away. And so I value everything. I value every sport they can play. I value playing wiffle ball in the front yard. I value shooting hoops. We ride dirt bikes. The only thing our girls don't, they dance full time. But my oldest daughter played club soccer till she was 13. And then it kind of became, we had to pick one or the other, just where it was going. And we chose dance, or she chose dance.
So at the end of the day, Coach, I love following you. You know, I love what you occasionally get out there and really put some good, you know, some good intel out there for that parents can follow. Where are the best places to find you? I know you're on X, Twitter. Where else can people find you if they want to connect? And also on the recruiting piece, you know, you might hear someone that wants to play at TCU. They want to get looks. How can they maybe get some film and maybe get on your radar?
Yeah, I mean, Twitter is always good. Sometimes I can go on a rant here and there on Twitter. I actually enjoy Instagram a lot more because I think we're also in a time where people want Instagram stories. They don't want the Instagram posts. I just think that's kind of where we're at in life, and that's okay, and that's good. So I like Instagram a lot because I have a chance to post a lot of videos, a lot of content on my stories. My family is heavily into faith, so it's Good Friday, and a lot of it is, it's kind of well-rounded. It's a lot of it, it's about faith. A lot of it's about speaking to kids. A lot of it's about speaking to my girls, because my girls are on Instagram, so they get to go through my feed, and it's like, oh, daddy is really talking about this, or he's posting this. So Instagram's probably my favorite. So I think if you just search TJ Bruce. In fact, I think it's TJ Bruce 02 or something like that. That's my handle, and it'd be great to connect or have people follow, and I can help in any way possible.
You're the man, Coach. I'm hoping we will see you guys in a super regional and ultimately in Omaha. Keep doing what you're doing. I can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing, bro. But it's always a pleasure, and I can't thank you enough.
Awesome, buddy. I appreciate you having me.
That's TJ Bruce, Associate Head Baseball Coach for the TCU Horned Frogs.
Thanks for listening to the Reform Sports Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, we would appreciate it if you took a moment to rate and review our podcast as we work to grow our community of supporters and advocates. For more Reform Sports content, please subscribe to our newsletter and blog at reformsportsproject.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro potting soil, just $8.97, for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro potting soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.